Sauvage.
Wank.
It's fucking...
Well,
there's just no need for the language. Just to, can you not express yourself any better than that?
Silophone bookery.
Wank.
Labia.
Quim.
Right, I need a short, snappy intro that sounds like an outtake for this. Welcome back to Cinema... Fuck off.
There you go.
Sorry, that was this time.
Welcome back to Cinemortuary, our very frequent and very informative film podcast based around the idea of sequels and reboots and remakes. With me, as oftentimes, is the man in the lumberjack shirt, Rabsy Yemens.
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Living the dream as always.
Lovely. I'm all full up on pizza.
Good lad.
Doing pretty good.
Yep. Fueled. Ready to go.
Fueled. Fired up. Ready to go. Yep. About to have a carb crash, but we'll see how we go.
It's all right, mate. Yep. Just, you know, channel your inner Dave Bautista. You'll be fine.
Yes, mate.
He walks alone in a pit of danger.
Yes. For miles. Sometimes. Sometimes yards. Chris Wilson. The only white man to successfully pull off a yellow t-shirt.
Thank you.
How's it going?
I've already carb crashed, so I'm knackered.
You carb crashed, so yeah. You can have a little sleepy sleep. Well, I've got teddy bears, pillows, whatever you need. You just give me a shout, all right, and I'll sort you out.
Fair play.
Cool. Got any Red Bull?
No, I haven't.
That's a shame.
No.
Got any hot chocolate, but with Red Bull in it?
I have Corsadil.
Close enough. Is that like a suppository?
No, you drink it, and if you swallow it, drives you a bit nuts, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's have some of that,
then. If in about half an hour, Wilson gets a little bit hyperactive and starts breaking mirrors and eating plates.
Just do it. Just get the shots in.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot. Everybody.
Okay, and at the 2 minute 20 mark, this week, we're talking about It.
Which, what? It?
Yeah.
What It?
Well, it's 2018, mate. The pronoun is It.
Oh, it's It?
Yeah. It's not a he, it's not a she, it's not a clown, it's not Tim Curry, it's an it.
It.
It's a Transylvanian transvestite, almost.
Okay.
It's an it. 2017's it.
2017's it?
Yeah. Directed by that man who I was going to look up in the break, with photography by that man that I was going to look up in the break, but didn't.
That man who directed the film Mama directed it too?
Yes, mate.
That lad?
Yes, that boy.
That one.
That what?
That one.
That one, yeah, yeah.
That one?
Yeah. Have we all seen it?
Yes, this is my second viewing. First one was at the cinema.
Best way to do it. Yes, that's how I did it as well. Yeah. Wilson.
This is my first time seeing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't go to cinema often these days. But the last time I went was to see the re-release of Spice World.
Fuck's sake.
That was not even kidding.
Oh, Jesus.
Last time I went was to see Tomb Raider, and it was
Can't remember what the last thing I saw was at the cinema. I think it was Walk Like a Panther, and that was because Amy worked on it.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, she did the graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all right.
It's an ideal, that.
Yeah, it was fine.
Did you get free tickets?
No, mate.
Savage when that happens.
Yeah,
you can't go up to the kiosk and say, like, yeah, they work on it, can I come in for free?
Yeah, it don't work. Went to the city screen, watched it there, paid like a civilian. Other cinemas are available.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the plan.
You
should have like, see that panther right there?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
You walk like it.
Film.
Film.
Shit rating, popcorn rating.
2 and 2.
Yes, mate. So has everybody seen the original? We should point out, it's a novel adaptation.
Yes.
And the novel's about 900 pages long.
Yes.
So none of your motherfuckers have read it.
No.
Which is absolutely fair enough.
Because
it's one of those novels where Stephen King just kind of bends over, gets a whiff and disappears up his own ass.
Yeah, it's not one of his best ones, is it?
So, like, most of what he writes.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, come on, Willie.
No, say that. That's true. I've read, like, 7 or 8 of his novels, and saving always happens. Like, I read the synopsis, think, oh, this sounds great, then sort of pages in, I think, oh shit, it's not even started yet.
Yeah.
Best finish it. Yeah. Oh fuck, there's another 800 pages here.
I've given up on the book for Christine. It's 900 pages long.
That's really good, Christine.
I know it is, but fucking hell, it's a mish, mate.
Yeah. Misery is short. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. What's the other short one that I've got?
The Mist. That's about 30 pages.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. The Dead Zone's quite short.
Okay, yep, yep.
They're out there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're out
I'm
there.
Not ever feeling inclined to delve into the Dark Tower, to be honest.
No, fuck that.
Every time
that
I think I've tracked down a complete set, there's another one going for slightly more. And so, all right, okay.
Yeah, fuck that.
So, yeah, it is an adaptation of the book, but I think we can treat this as a remake of the, I think it's 91?
Yep,
yep.
TV movie starring Tim Curry and Seth Green.
Yeah, directed by Tommy Lee Wallace.
Shit, no way.
Yeah, famed for directing the criminally underrated Halloween 3.
Yep.
And Vampires 2 Los Muertos, starring Jon Bon Jovi.
We were doing quite well there, weren't we? And then...
Yeah, sorry, I had to bring you back down again.
And just to point out before you start writing in, we're going to do this one even though it's an adaptation of the TV series, because I think the TV series is like 3 hours, so it's not even that long.
It's TV movie.
Yeah, it was like split in four parts, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like two parts. An early event TV thing, you know, like that's the thing now. So like it'll be like event television, and it's really just a guy who's basically cut it down to either a series. Well, he doesn't have enough material for a series, but that's too much material for a film. So it's event television.
Yes, mate.
Mm. Yeah. That's fair enough, but the combined length of it is not that far up the road from this one anyway, so
no.
It's fine. We just treat it like it's a straight to TV film and have to get on with it. Yeah.
Has everybody seen the original TV film?
Yes.
Nah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tried rewatching it recently after this.
Yeah.
Didn't make it that far.
Well, Ropey. My very first viewing of the original it. Was
I've got an original viewing story as well, so go for it.
I've got one of them DVDs, the old school ones that flip over halfway through.
My story also starts this way.
Yep, I think it might be this. Maybe we had the same experience.
You fucking hipsters.
So I'm watching the DVD, and I get to the point where you flip, and it just ends, and I was like, "Fuck me, that's the best ending I've ever seen."
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realised I had to flip the disc, and I wish I fucking hadn't.
Yes, mate, that's my exact story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went 15 years with this DVD, just like, oh yeah, let's crack out it. And then one night I watched it with a mate, and I was like, yeah, flip it, man. I'm like, what are you on about, flip it? And then we flipped it, and I've just never been so disappointed.
It was one of my all-time best film endings until I realised it was only half-time.
Yeah, yeah.
No credits, anything, just ended. Finn. I was like... Yeah. Fucking hell, great work.
Yeah. So in the original movie, it starts out with the kids as adults, Willie.
Mm.
And they're all thinking back to when they were kids, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the movie ends with one of the adults basically killing themselves in the bath. And in blood on the wall, they write it.
Okay.
And it's like, that's fucking savage.
That's it.
Leave that there. That is beautifully done.
Yeah, yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Nice and tidy. A little bit tacky, but nice and tidy. And then you flip it over, and it's nearly 2 hours of just fucking torpid shit, isn't it?
Yeah. So in many ways,
it's cucumber sandwiches on side
this,
two.
This remake / reimagining is side one of a two-sided coin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So they're doing the next chapter that's coming out next year, I think.
Right.
The adult bit where they come back as adults. To fight it, because it comes back every 20-odd years.
Finish that boy off.
Bit like the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers.
Mm-hmm.
Similar sort of thing.
I'll be sure to go check out a re-release of, I don't know, Bring It On instead.
Which is a classic. Due for a re-release.
Fun hipster trivia time, since Wilson brought it up.
Yep.
So the DVD and the Blu-ray still feature the Take the Horror Home VHS artwork.
Okay.
They've tried to trim it out, but if you look at the Blu-ray, there's clearly a VHS tape behind the clown.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. They've never updated the artwork. Yeah, yeah. But when you see it in the shop, you'll be like, Amy, Dave Tom... Oh, no, you've fucking gone already.
Yeah, yeah. She's gone to watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But yeah, I had the same shit.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was one of those films that, like, your mate always had on VHS.
Yeah.
They taped it off TV, and they cheekily show you a little bit of it, what their mum would let you show.
Yep.
Sort of thing. And then it was one of those things that became an urban legend from a made-up urban legend sort of thing.
Completely.
And in the playground, it's like, shut the fuck up or it's going to get you.
Yeah. And like, my only experience for years, because I was a little older when I watched it for the first time.
Yeah.
My only experience of it is those horror movie countdown moments on Channel 5 that were the rage about 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was the scene with the grate and the storm drain.
Yep.
That was my only experience of it, really.
Yeah, I think I saw it when I was 6 or 7, and it just fucked me up big time. The thing with the washing line and the spin, oh, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's creepy shit.
But yeah, so that's kind of like entrenched in my DNA a bit. I can't watch it now, because I think it's just really naff compared to the new one. Like, it's just too spoilers. Hokey. Yeah, sorry.
Said that
as in hokiness, mate. Everyone knows the original is hokey.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my experience, is it? That's with experience, is it? I suppose we should just wade in.
Let's wade in.
Mm-hmm.
So, original was set 20 years before 1991 or 2, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So that took us into like the 60s or some such.
Mm-hmm.
So this time round, we've moved ourselves on and it's landed us in the 80s, which is awfully convenient for the current 80s wank fest that's going on in our society.
Mm. But fucking kids on bikes!
Yeah.
More bikes!
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
On fucking bikes.
So, yeah. Set the scene for us, Dave.
Kids on bikes. It's Stranger Things.
Yes, but with bikes.
But with bikes and infinitely better. So it is 1990.
Yep.
I think the initial sequence is main kid. I can't remember his name. Stuttering Stanley, we'll call him.
Bill is his name.
Bill. Yeah. Stuttering Bill, who's ill at home.
Bill's ill. Yeah.
Bill's ill. Yeah. Bill's ill. Like it.
Yeah.
His little brother Georgie.
Georgie
wants to go outside in his cute little rain mac and then sail his boat down the street, which is fair enough because there's like torrential rain going down the street. And then they give the boat a name, and they specifically call it a her, important for later on.
Yeah, SS Georgie.
SS Georgie, yeah. So little Georgie goes outside and starts floating his little boat down the street.
He does.
Absolutely tags himself clean out on a road sign, which was sick.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. She's already captain.
She?
You know, it's called both she.
She. Thanks, Billy. See you later. Bye.
Be careful.
Shout out Early Doors for sound design on that one.
Yes, mate, an absolute cracker that.
Yeah, it was a clonker.
Yeah, we knew what kind of cinema audience we were with.
Yeah.
Because at that point, the entire cinema just erupted in laughter.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, we're going to have a good time tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone's on board.
Everyone's involved straight away. His boat keeps going and going and going, and then it eventually goes down a storm drain. This is pretty much beat for beat the original scene.
Correct.
From
that
film.
Yeah.
But instead of Tim Curry popping up, we have got some freaky ass lazy eyed motherfucker.
Yeah.
Played by, who is it, one of the Skarsgård?
Bill Sarsgaard.
Bill
Sarsgaard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who doesn't do Tim Curry. He kind of does his own thing that I wasn't on board with at first.
Very squeaky.
Very squeaky. Very kind of the John Travolta school of subtle acting and then got kicked out for giggling too much.
Yeah.
And I'm really not on board with his performance at this point.
Yeah.
And then he tells Georgie a joke and then they're both laughing and he stops laughing and his fucking eye just goes off to one side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just you under there. Because I know he's got a lazy eye.
Right.
So they've just rolled with it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the best part of this little sequence is just that little turning point. What do you guys think of the...
I think it's... I mean, it's obviously very reflective of the original.
Mm-hmm.
What I think it's expanded.
Mm-hmm.
So the original is very restrained in what it shows and what happens in the sequence. Mm-hmm. And this is as well to an extent, mm-hmm. but they sort of bring in an element of brutality to it, mm-hmm. which wasn't there before, because our poor Georgie gets his arm ripped right off. I wasn't really expecting after the sort of light chat.
I wasn't expecting that, no.
And it did establish something quite early in the sequence as well that was quite an important theme of the original, which mm-hmm. was the at least acknowledgement, or some might say complicity, mm-hmm. of the residents of Derry
mm-hmm.
in what is going on, mm-hmm. in the adults of Derry seem to be aware but turning a blind eye to it. I think it's quite nicely mm-hmm. done by the old woman with the cat, who kind of sees Georgie fucking about in the storm drain and knows something's going on, but decides to turn her back on it, basically.
And then comes back to a massive puddle of blood and says, oh, it's a bit cold out here, better run back inside.
Exactly, yeah.
And we're treated to this absolutely gorgeous aerial shot of Georgie trying to crawl away with just this hand that just is just stretching and stretching and stretching. Yeah. So already it's set up your main bad guy as a monster.
Yeah,
exactly. How do you feel, Willie?
As someone who's not seen it, what did you feel about the...
I really like this opening sequence. Yeah. Like I said, the arm thing was definitely a surprise.
Yeah.
Because you get used to watching films like this that no matter what happens, the kid never really gets it. Or if they do, you don't see much of us here. We just go full on. Yeah, his arm's gone. Yeah.
It's the first 5 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're just very, very much into the fact they've got to separate themselves from the Tim Curry movie.
Yeah, and exactly.
Just to get it out of the way.
And I think, especially the bit where the hand reaches out, like you say, there's something very much of the Freddy Kruegers about this particular iteration of Pennywise, I think.
They're in the original, it's kind of like half and half, whether he's just a maniac that lives in the sewer. But in this one, they're kind of, they've got to tick the boxes to make sure everyone knows it's a fucking weird piece of shit living down there, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
What a nice boat. Do you want it back?
Yes, please.
You look like a nice boy. I bet you have a lot of friends.
3, but my brother's my best S.
Where is he?
In bed, sick.
I bet I could cheer him up. I'll give him a balloon. Do you want a balloon too, Georgie?
I'm not supposed to take stuff from strangers.
Oh, well, I'm Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Pennywise? Yes, meet Georgie. Georgie, meet Pennywise. Now we aren't strangers, are we? Storm blew me away. Blew the whole circus away. Can you smell the circus, Georgie? There's peanuts, cotton candy, hot dogs, and...
Popcorn?
Popcorn! Is that your favorite?
Uh-huh.
Mine too! Because they pop. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, pop, pop.
I should get going now.
Oh. Without your boat? You don't want to lose it, Georgie. Bill's gonna kill you. Here. Take it. Take it, Georgie.
So after that, we're introduced to Mike, the black kid, who's been bullied by his family for not being a man, for not shooting a sheep or a cow.
It's a sheep. Yeah.
So that kind of handily, again, establishes something that comes in later, which is the funny little bolt gun, which Mike basically fails to use. And then we sort of have a couple of the little introductory sequences to the Losers Club.
Yeah.
And the kids. It's kind of fairly standard fare.
I just called them the cast of Stand By Me.
Yep.
It was incredibly like that. I mean, I know Stephen King also wrote that, and you definitely get a feeling, just the look of these kids, it's gone like copy, paste.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is fair enough. It's almost like a genre by itself is now kids on bikes.
Yeah.
I think there's a new series out on Netflix, which is like, it's German or Finnish.
And called Kids on Bikes.
It's called Dark Woods or something like that.
It's called Dark. I've seen the first few episodes of it.
Good.
It's all right. It's a bit ponderous.
Right, okay.
But it's typically Scandi in that sense.
Yeah.
How many bikes?
A few bikes, yeah. There is
a kid with a bike in a woods, yeah. So it's...
Yeah. On a scale of one to Stranger Things, it's about mid-range.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So it's recycling those kids on bikes.
Let's put the brakes on, will you?
Jesus Christ.
Sorry. Fucking hell.
So, yeah.
Genuinely fucking thought I was telling him off.
Hello. Sorry. It's late, I'm tired.
So we meet the losers club around the school.
Mm-hmm.
A few scenes of them being losers and getting the piss taken out of them by other students.
Yep. Set up the bad kids.
Mm, yep. They leave the school. There's a big fucking sign saying 7 p.m. curfew. Mm-hmm. So we know something weird's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of missing child posters.
Mm-hmm.
As they're walking out of school, we get our first bit of dick humour from the kid from Stranger Things.
One of many more pieces of dick humour.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which kind of. They nearly go too far with it, but for me, they balance it okay because it's quite nice punctuation of the scenes that... Because the horrific scenes and the scenes of dread
mm-hmm.
are fucking shit scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think these scenes quite nicely punctuate that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of our introduction, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone's got their own little typecast.
Yeah. There's a lovely little scene where we're introduced to Ben, the fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly, the female member of the group,
mm-hmm.
When he's sort of out the back exit of the school, avoiding the bullies, she goes to sign his yearbook.
With his little science project.
Yeah, with his little science adorable. Project. Yeah. And he's in his yearbook that's empty, which is fucking like, we've all been Ben the fat kid.
Yes.
Here, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Willie hasn't, he's just been Ben, but yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. He's... you know, it's a really sweet scene that a lot of male kids can empathise with. And he's listening to New Kids on the Block, mate, isn't he?
Which is even more adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dragging his headphones behind him as he walks off.
Yeah. Just a fucking absolute useless fucker. Yeah. Last thing, we've all been there.
Yeah, it's all nice, very nice character setups. Everyone is someone that you can relate to at some point when you've been at school, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not the strict Jewish kid, specifically in this room, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And after that, we then get a few more scenes of them away from the school. Showing like their own little things, like Billy, for example, is like... Even though it's like a year later, he's cloned over the death of his brother,
mm-hmm.
and he's created like a series of tubes in his garage to show, like, replicating the sewer system the mm-hmm. plans is stolen from his dad.
Yeah,
to try and prove where George has gone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I believe, I can't remember the name of it now, but I believe he's actually correct in the location ultimately.
Yes,
where he goes down. Yeah, because it says the tubes that divide up into like several ones, and he correctly guesses which one it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's quite a nice little moment because it shows how resourceful he is straight away.
So yeah,
you're not
absolutely.
Surprised later on when they start figuring shit out.
Yeah, no, it's got a little bit of a Home Alone element to it almost.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So we sort of get them establishing scenes with the kids, which are really nice, and gives us a sort of. An access point to the characters, and mm-hmm. then they don't fuck about for too long before they start getting into the first instances of Pennywise creeping up on the kids. The first one, I think, is Mike, the black lad, who's he's turns down an alley to hide from the bullies while he's delivering some meat for a butcher shop that he works for,
mm-hmm.
and the back door of the butcher's shop. Suddenly basically sets ablaze and hands come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The door swings open and there's a very fucking creepy image of Pennywise behind them, you know, weird plastic sheeting that you get. And it's just sort of for a split second before the bullies kind of come screaming down in the car.
Yep.
Nice sort of little introductory set builds a bit of dread.
Mm. So to clarify that, because it's quite important that each kid has their own specific fear.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this lad's mum and dad died in a fire in that building.
I don't know if it was that building. I think it was in their house.
Was it in their house?
Yeah, it was in their house.
But he's kind of reliving it in these.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's his. Yeah. That's his fear. Yeah.
Yep.
And then it's the next. Pretty soon after that, the Jewish kid is basically practicing for his whatever it's called.
Bar mitzvah.
Bar mitzvah. Yeah. That's the term. Yeah. And his dad's a bit of a dick about it all because he can't remember his words.
And his dad's a rabbi, isn't he?
yeah, the dickhead rabbi, basically. And so he goes to a sort of back room and. To try and collect himself and put the book that he's been reading from back, and there's a very fucking weird picture on the wall that is very, very reminiscent of the one from The Conjuring 2.
Yes, it is, mate.
Yeah, welcome back, Marilyn Manson.
Yay! Yeah, sing the song, Willie.
Sweet dreams are in a dream.
So yeah, it's fucking creepy as shit, this. What did you think of this sequence?
It was really well done, again, yeah. It's even about like when he picks up a picture and there's nothing there, you know, is quite shit scary, actually.
Yeah, when he turns around, it's just empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what I like about this is that especially when I was watching it in 7.1 in cinema, is that the sound kind of pulls the camera in directions, which so something's happening off screen and then the camera kind of pitches around to show what's actually going on behind him or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck me. I was sinking in my chair in the cinema.
Yeah, I was. I was looking at the floor in this scene. It was fucking... It's so well constructed.
Yeah.
And so genuinely scary. I like about this film, and this is the first example of it, is you have a scene like that that's really, really intense, and then the scene that follows it is like relief. It's that idea of pulling you in and then pulling you out again. So like the scene that follows this is when the lads go round to one of their mum's house, a larger lady, and there's a few jokes about birth control from our mate from Stranger Things, and it just, the levity of it kind of keeps you balanced.
Yeah, as it's holding your breath, and you can finally let it go.
Yeah.
So I looked into it afterwards, because I thought the pacing of the film was very interesting, and I thought the photography was very interesting. And the DOP, who I think is very much guiding the pace in a lot of respects, I think he's called Chang Chung.
Right.
And he's Park Chan-wook's DOP from Old Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Lady Vengeance, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And all the way through, I was thinking, this is paced like a Japanese horror.
It is,
yeah. This really takes its time. It's either hot or cold. There's not really any in between. It's either extremes or it's just still. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So it was refreshing to see an American horror with that kind of look that wasn't The Grudge.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Mm. So next, there's a bit of cycling next.
How do you feel about the cycling, Willie?
Kids on bikes.
Kids on bikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, a bit like E.T., but not.
Yeah.
Great.
So we say we need an alien.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
that's the only thing it's lacking.
Yeah, so this film needs to be more like Mac and Me, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly like that. That's exactly what would make this better.
Kid in wheelchair, falling off a cliff.
Some little goblin on top, yeah.
So after a bit of miscellaneous bike riding, we go over to Ben, our chubby geeky lad, who's sitting in a library because he's got no mates, and we have the first appearance of the creepy fucking red balloons.
Yes, mate. He's done a little bit of research into the town, though, hasn't he?
Correct, yes, yeah.
And he's found out that nearly 27 to 30 years, something like that.
Somewhere around now,
something horrendous happens and people start disappearing.
Mm.
And then we get this horrible, creepy little sequence where he's flipping pages, and then the picture that's on the page, it's slowly zooming in on Pennywise's face.
Oh, it's on a child. It's a child.
It's on a child.
Yeah, dead child.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
But it is. But it's well built and it's suspenseful. And then he sees the red balloon going across the room on its own, and he thinks, "I'll follow that."
There might be a Wally Pop at the end of it.
A Wally Pop. Ooh, piece of candy.
Unfortunately, what is behind that is not a lollipop, is it, Wilson?
No, it's a noncy clown.
It's a noncy clown and a headless child.
That headless boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's fucking creepy as well.
Yeah, so that scares him out of the library and straight into the hands of bullies.
Yeah, exactly, it does, yeah. And one little thing within that scene that creeped me the fuck out the first time I watched it and did the second time is it's the first time we get the use of that fucking creepy music box type music, you know, them wind-up music boxes.
Mm. Yeah, like little circus music, but done on a music box.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking mad. So, yeah, onto the bullies he goes, Wilson.
Mm-hmm. He does, yeah. And particularly bullies have got, like, one leader, I believe his name's Henry.
Correct, yeah.
Because he carves a H into his stomach like he's Zorro or something.
Henry is a fucking maniac.
He is.
But he's in the original as well.
Yes, he is.
I'm about to say there's bullies and there's this guy. There's a pure mulleted psychopath.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Again, there's in this scene, there's another nice little nod to the fact that the adults are ignoring a lot of bad shit happening because a car drives past and then there's a little balloon in the back of the car and they drive away.
Oh, there's a balloon in the car?
It pops up in the rear of the car as the car drives away.
That is cute.
So then basically to get himself free of the bullies, he sort of pushes against Henry's chest and flips himself over the bridge and rolls all the way down to the bottom and runs for his life and up to the point where he encounters the rest of the Losers Club.
You are doing a little bit of a mission of their own.
Yes, they are, yeah.
Yeah, they're hanging around in the sewers looking for Georgie. Going by that, Bill's last experiment, so they're getting closer to where his little brother is.
Yep.
But they spend a lot of time instead discussing about the sewer water.
The brown water.
Which is pretty funny.
I think that gets mentioned like four or five times more and it's just like in little moments, just little bits of banter coming through. Like, yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
And while they're down there, they find a shoe, conveniently with a name in it, of a girl who's gone missing a year prior as well.
Yep, correct. Yeah, she's gone missing. I believe she went missing just after Georgie. And that was kind of one of the more recent disappearances, basically, in the town. The bullies sort of find him in the tunnels, don't they?
No, one of them does.
Patrick.
Patrick does. This is after he loses his trademark knife.
Patrick's a sidekick.
Henry loses his knife after he gets kicked away. So it's Patrick. He goes down to the sewer, sort of finds him, and instead he comes across. Well, it begins as like, can't remember. It's like
zombie kids, isn't it?
Say there's one figure and this sort of and it sort of gets weird and then there's like a whole army of them zombies and he gets like trapped against like
a great thing,
one of the greats and it's goodbye for him.
This was one of the best jump scares in the film because he runs to the grate and he turns around and our kids have all gone and a red balloon just floats right towards his face and the camera's at his point of view and all he can see is the red balloon. The balloon pops and Pennywise is just fucking stood there behind it.
It's this point in the film is where we're getting introduced to this fucking weirdness they're doing with the cameras as well. Which I found out is image stabilization,
right?
And they stabilize it on Pennywise's face but nothing else. So you've just got this fucking face coming at you with a load of shaky shit around it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty effective, to be honest. I don't think I've seen it done before.
No, it's a really sort of unique point of view. And I think the thing that I really like about this film is it shifts between pure horror and sort of toilet humour at will. And I think one so effectively leads the other that it's a really enjoyable viewing experience. So the next thing that we have is the gang have escaped from the sewer scenario, but they bob over to the chemist to get some supplies to patch up Big Ben, who's not having a great time, is he, Wilson?
Not having a great time.
No, he's wazzing blood everywhere.
Yeah,
so they need bandages. They go to pharmacy, but they don't have enough money, but they come across Beverly there, who's discreetly trying to buy Tampax. And so they come up with a plan together. She distracts the pharmacist, who's also a bit noncy. There's an awful lot of nonsense in this film.
That's something that's in the book, is a lot of weird sexual themes.
Yeah.
They've been more straightened out in this.
Right, okay.
So that the kind of the alignment of them is more clean cut, that it's bad.
Right, yeah. Oh, so I take it like if a novel Stephen King dedicated about four pages to his pharmacist who we never see again. Yeah, that sounds like him.
Yeah.
So they managed to basically rob the pharmacy of supplies so we can get Big Ben all bandaged up.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, he's bandaged up, and then at this point we follow her back to her house, basically. And we are introduced to Beverly's fear, which is Beverly's creepy as fuck dad being creepy as fuck.
Guess who else is a nonce?
What are you up to tonight, Dad? Probably just sweating and sitting in the dark, love, to be honest.
Just going
to
watch you sleep.
I think, because you've watched this again, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the stuff with her dad was omitted from the cinematic release. Just little bits here and there, because when I watched it the second time, I thought, no, that is really fucking strong this time.
Yeah. It gets, not here, but it gets very explicit later on before, spoiler, he gets whacked with the toilet seat bowl thing. Yeah.
Spoilers!
Yeah. Which I was very surprised if they were that explicit about it. So, yeah, I was wondering if they added right in there.
It feels like that scene was extended slightly.
Right.
The early scene feels extended.
So then, after we're introduced to Beverly's creepy dad, it's back to the lads on top of a cliff in their pants, which is a bit of a strange situation.
Yeah.
So they're basically doing what lads do and daring each other to jump off. And then Beverly tips up and basically strips off, essentially calls them all pussies and dives straight in, to which the lad from Stranger Things, I think he's called, is he called Finn in this or something?
I think so. We'll call him Finn.
Yeah.
Glasses Finn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck's sake, come on, you pussies. We can't let a girl do, you know.
Yeah.
Do that to us. So in they all jump, and following this is a really nice little, I might be reading too much into this, I don't know, but it's a nice little scene between the lads and her where it's kind of, it almost feels like they're kind of transitioning from childhood into adolescence within this scene. And as, you know, as I think, as males, I think we can all identify with that time in our lives when we sort of like started to see girls in a different way, or started to see, you know, life in a different way. And I think it was, and there's a lot of things like in terms of, not to get too wanky about it, but there's a lot of things in terms of cinematic representation to do with water and
I mean, it's all intentionally though.
Yeah, of course it is.
None of what you're saying is wrong at all.
And I think it's just quite nicely played.
And of course, in the tone of this film, they then make light of it in the next scene.
Yes.
By just having them all kind of sat there awkwardly staring at her while she listens to rock music and sunbathing.
Yeah.
And as soon as she opens her eyes, they're just like, oh, that's a nice rock. Yeah.
Just the most on the nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of scene depicting lads.
Yeah.
That I've seen in some time.
Yeah. I think it's handled really well. I think any less competent director, this wouldn't have played quite so innocently.
No, they would have lured.
Yeah, I think an audience would have, even if it had had the same intentions, I think an audience would have become uncomfortable if someone else was handling this.
Yeah, for sure.
At no point so far, apart from the creepy dad, have I felt uncomfortable, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's quite weird, yeah.
Yeah. So, after this, the gang go off to Ben's house.
Big Ben.
Big Ben. to have a look at dong. To have a look at the. and it's just, as they come to his house, there's a nice little shot of a resident putting up a missing poster for our bully Patrick, mm-hmm. who's just tagged it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a nice little scene where basically Ben lays out for us that. The history of Derry and the violence involved, and yep. he mentions that it used to be a beaver hunting town originally.
Yep.
Which Finn cracks out the line.
Am I right, boys?
still is. Am I right, boys?
yeah.
yeah, which fucking creased me in half.
What's that?
Oh, that? That's the charter for Derry Township.
Nerd alert.
No, actually, it's really interesting.
Derry started as a beaver trapping camp.
Still is, am I right, boys? 91 people signed the charter that made Derry. But later that winter, they all disappeared without a trace.
The entire camp?
There are rumors of Indians, but no sign of an attack. Everybody just thought it was a plague or something. But it's like one day everybody just woke up and left. The only clue was a trail of bloody clothes leading to the well house.
Jesus, we can get Derry and unsolved mysteries.
Let's do that. You're brilliant. Come on. Yeah, one of the most important things to point out is that like, Derry apparently has six times the missing rate on average compared to the rest of America, and that's just the adults.
Yeah,
quote.
Yeah. And the kids are worse, much worse.
Much worse. And Ben is strangely fascinated by all this murder and such.
He is, yeah.
Not when he goes anyway. It's a bit weird. Like when you're 11, 12, 13, you're like into, Power Rangers and stuff, aren't you?
It's pre Power Rangers, mate.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
By 2 years.
Do you like Transformers? Thundercats?
Yeah,
possibly. Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
Banana Man.
Jesus, man.
Banana Man. So. Then next up, we have Andy, the lad who suffers from asthma, so I'll henceforth call him Andy Asthma.
Mm-hmm.
He's cycling along and he passes a big fucking creepy house and the door swings open.
Yeah. I noticed it's just like Pennywise has rented Michael Myers' house.
Yes. Basically, yeah. Now, the house sitch is something that is not from the original.
No.
And it's a bit contrived, this.
Ooh. It is Boo Haunted House.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to say Boo Haunted House ever since we did House on a Haunted Hill, mate.
Yeah. It's a bit fucking contrived.
It's a bit contrived.
The centrepiece and where the essence and the home of Pennywise happens to be is the big old fucking creepy empty house.
Yes, mate, yeah.
Slightly disappointed by that.
Yeah. Which shall henceforth be referred to as the Spook House.
The Spook House, yeah. Yeah, so he gets to the Spook House and he drops his medication.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's scrabbling on the floor for it, he looks up and there's a big old fucking leper stood in front of him, which it turns out to be his fear.
Well, he's afraid of being sick, isn't he?
Yeah.
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 And the leper asks him, do you think these pills will sort me out? At which point he's like, nah, fam, you're right, just have them, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have, when he runs away from the leper, through the garden of the creepy house,
yep.
There's another lovely, lovely bit of Pennywise here where he turns around and Pennywise is just holding like a... It reminded me a bit of, if you're playing snooker and you put all the balls in a triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like a nice triangular shape of balloons. And he sort of turns around to leg it out and all the balloons pop and Pennywise is gone.
Yeah.
Fucking lovely.
Mm. Every little reveal is savoured, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything has just got a little ritual to it. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. So we're kind of... We're around about we're creeping up to the halfway point now, roughly. And I particularly love to get the views of one Chris Wilson, who hasn't seen it before, or the original read the book.
Yeah.
How's it floating your boat so far, pun intended?
We all float down here, Willie.
Put me on the spot here. I'm enjoying it so far. Like I said, it's still building up at this point, I reckon. So I'm not entirely sure where it's going. I mean, obviously, it's about a murderous paedophile clown, really. But
yeah,
But yeah, so far so good, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, next up is, I mentioned earlier on that about the opening sequence being expanded upon the from the original,
mm-hmm.
and the next sequence is another one that was expanded greatly from the original, which is the fucking bathroom scene.
Hey, this scene's expanded from the ending of Carrie.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But this scene does exist in the original version of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Dave.
Take it, are we talking about the hair one, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay. And the tape measure.
Yes. So at which point, we should have mentioned earlier, Beverly has cut her hair. Yes. Dad doesn't like it very much because she looks like a boy. And then promptly goes back to sitting in the dark and sweating in front of a fan, whatever he's doing with his life. She hears voices down the sink, and of course all American sinks don't have the fucking grill on them like they do in the UK, which is to stop kids fucking shoving shit down there. And she goes and gets her dad's tape measure, shoves it down, nothing much going on, tries to pull it out, and there's blood, and it's all kind of clotted and matted with hair on the end.
Yep.
At which point, some more hair shoots out of the sink.
Yeah.
Grabs her by the wrists, then grabs her by the back of the head, and tries to pull her into the sink.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like, throw your fake blood around.
Yeah. When that fails, something like blah.
Yeah.
A bit like go back to the last episode with Nightmare on Elm Street, with mm-hmm. the original Johnny Depp like going in the
mm-hmm.
into the bed of bloods. Splattering out from there, imagine that, but from a sink instead.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think it does kind of play on some of the groundwork by Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, it does, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So the original film kind of had a lot more of Pennywise spooking the kids and a lot more kind of tactile fear stuff. This is kind of, it's very surreal a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of it feels like if you stick Freddy Krueger in there, you would have a good Nightmare film.
Yeah, there's definitely a strong element of mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street's influence on this film, mm-hmm. and I, for one, will never fucking look at a clogged plug hole in the same way again, mate.
No, mate.
Not a chance. I'm not unplugging that shit ever again.
No, no. Mm. And some fucking houses in America have blenders in there.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
How terrifying is that? You're doing the dishes and you've got this massive gnashing teeth at the bottom of there. What are you supposed to put down there? Oh, the plate's chipped. Fucking shoved it down there. Yeah. So bathroom's covered in blood. She's covered in blood.
Yeah.
Might this potentially be a slight coming of age sort of thing?
No, I think it's probably heavily implied, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't say the word heavy.
Ah. Oh.
It was quite a heavy one.
Oh. Next scene.
Well, I was going to say her dad walks in.
He does, yeah.
And he can't see any problem.
See it.
Can't see anything going on. Again, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be weird. Quite a weird but very effective scene.
Yeah.
And after that, we bob over to Billy's house,
mm-hmm.
who's been sort of haunted by Georgie. And we get our second flooded basement scene of the podcast.
I already don't like flooded basements, but this is fucking awful, this scene.
Yeah. Very, very similar, again, mm-hmm. to the scene in The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
Mm.
The way that Pennywise comes out of the water is very similar to the way that, was it Bill? Old Bill?
Yeah.
Bill.
Came out
Bill
of the water.
Wilkins.
Bill Wilkins.
My house.
Very similar, and fucking the bit, man, where Pennywise comes out of the water and Billy sees him and he fucking does that weird walk / run.
Yeah. With the stabilisation.
With the stabilisation.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
When you're in a cinema, it's hard to describe it if you haven't seen it in that environment where it's coming towards you and you're getting hit in the face by noises as well.
Yeah,
and
you are.
It's literally like you're stood in front of a train.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It is, and it's just an assault on the senses. Yeah, it's very disorientating on the big screen, that scene.
Yeah, very aggressive film in times.
Like Yeah. So after that, we have
a nice blood cleaning montage.
We do. In and amongst that, Beverly thinks that Billy should point out that Beverly had a poem sent to her.
Yep. There's a fucking lot going on in this film.
There is a lot going on. Yeah. This is again a direct cut from the original.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly has a poem sent to her by Ben. She thinks it's Billy who sent it, so she kind of recites a bit of the poem to Billy in this scene, and he's kind of like, oh, you're talking about loving, it's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
But establishing a possible little bit of a love triangle going on there in the background as well.
And then the scene after that, we get Mike, he's confronted by the other remaining bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Only three of them left. this is down...
Fucking Crab and Goyle.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was early, quite early on when I saw it again. I realised that the three bullies, when you put them all together, are literally the fucking three ghosts from the Casper movie, right down to belching in people's faces.
God.
Yeah. Now, it's round about this point where... I don't have many criticisms of this film, but I do have a slight criticism in a sense, is that, and this is an issue with the format of this versus the slightly extended format of the original, is that they don't quite have the same amount of time to develop the characters. So Stan kind of gets a bit left by the wayside. He's the other kid that's kind of just there.
He does. Whenever someone directly asks him a question and saying, you're like, oh, fuck, yeah, you. Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Which is a real shame because Stan is vitally important, and I assume vitally important in the upcoming film, because in the original, as me and Dave said about the bit where one of them kills himself when he thinks that Pennywise is coming back and he's an adult and it ends with it written on the wall, it's Stan that's the one that kills himself.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Sorry.
Sorry, listeners.
Sorry, listeners.
But, sorry, me.
You know, sorry, Wilson.
I've not read or seen any of them.
Well, that's your fault. You should have done your research. But
fucking cough at me, motherfucker.
Dave's going to have to edit that out now.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I stayed. So, yeah, I think it's just a little bit of a shame. I mean, there's nothing much you can do with the format, but...
Yeah. I've even got my notes down here. I mean, after... after he's confronted by the bullies and the rest of the gang come in and help, and there's a massive rock war. And
rock
after
rock war!
Nice throw. Thanks.
You losers are trying too hard. She'll do you. You just gotta ask nicely. Like I did.
What
the fuck?
Come on, get him! Fuck!
Fuck!
Get out! Get out! Watch out!
Fuck you,
go blow your dad, you mullet wearing asshole!
After that sequence, you've got like seven of them walking along. It's like Reservoir Dogs, or
There's like, sheep killers joined at this point. Yeah,
there's literally more members of them than there are of the Foo Fighters now at this point.
Yes. Oh Jesus!
Fucking seven of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a shame, but
To go back to your point about them having to cut out some character, development, they kind of skip certain subtleties that I'm sure are in the book and that are in the original TV movie. And in essence, it just comes across like the hammering repetition.
Yeah.
So you know who people are. Like, the bullies are just assholes in a car.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original film, like, there's more of a backstory. I know we get the main guy's backstory a little bit better with his dad in this, but you kind of feel like things are just being thrown at you repeatedly, just so you always know who's who.
So in the novel, is anyone, if the bullies have been more developed than just Henry? And I'd argue Henry's
the focus.
Yeah, is he still the focus, as he put?
Yeah, like kid from a broken home sort of thing.
Yeah.
His fate in the first half of the book and the TV movie are slightly different.
Right, yeah. Crucially different.
Crucially different, actually, yeah. He does get a little bit more to him. He's never a sympathetic character.
No.
But there's kind of, not in a Rob Zombie kind of way, but there's an explanation about why he's a dick.
Right. Sort of thing. Which we don't really get in this film.
He's just a nutcase. Yeah.
Just a knobber, really.
Yeah, and for the sort of partial avoidance of spoilers, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with the fact that he suffers a very different fate here mm-hmm. to an original in the book, which potentially could have quite large knock-ons to mm-hmm. the adult section of the story that's mm-hmm. coming up.
So you mean he's not supposed to die here, then?
If he dies in this, we don't really
know. Well, if he does, to be fair.
But he grows older.
Yeah. Right. Well, forward and down a well. Spoiler.
Yeah.
It's just like this infinite well that goes nowhere.
Exactly, yeah. So, at this point, the kids come back together and compare stories about what they've seen, and they all realise that they have had these horrific experiences, apart from the kid from Stranger Things, whose response to these stories is that he asks the rest of the group, is it only virgins that could see this stuff? Because he's not seeing anything.
Yeah.
Which, again, is just another example of his little bit of comedic relief, which is...
prime banter.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so...
Top bants. Yeah. Bantosaurus Rex over there.
Archbishop of Banjo, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Sorry. Carry on, Rob. Sorry.
So, there's a couple of scenes upcoming where basically we just get hit with a little bit of information quite quickly. The losers realise that it's every 27 years that this shit starts happening. Mm-hmm. And then they find out that the kid from Stranger Things' fear is clowns.
Yeah.
Which is a bit unfortunate for him.
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. So we thread these little bits and bobs through, and they have a bit of a chat about their fears. And then the next scene, fuck me, is the scene in the garage.
Yes, mate.
Do you want to have this, Wilson?
Okay, then. Yeah, they start looking through... Is it like all the different plans, like drains and such, about where Georgia can be? And the projector seems to start taking a life of its own as it mm-hmm. starts going through like more personal slides. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly you've got Pennywise appearing.
Yeah, it's. I find this a really bizarre scene before we get into the actual spooky bits.
Yeah.
So you got the family photo of his dad, who we've met,
yeah.
Georgie, who we've met, him. And then the mother we've never met, who's got a hair blown across her face.
Yeah.
So we never actually know anything about the mum.
No.
And the only time we see the mum is the bit that Wilson is about to carry on with.
Yeah.
Just thought it was an interesting little side piece.
Mm.
Carry on, Willie.
Okay, Dave. So, we go into the cool bit, which is Pennywise starts peering over the slides, and suddenly he pops out of a wall. He just basically rings himself through the photos into reality. He runs at him, but you know, he sort of like disappears.
Yeah,
you know, it's another spook, but it's a very cool scene.
It's nicely done with the rhythm of the slide machine.
Yeah,
because they eventually see what's happening. The mother's face is revealed to be Pennywise. They kick the thing over, and then it's just kind of ticking at normal speed.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know he's going to jump out when the next comes on at some point, but they just savour that delay. And then he comes out, and he's fucking massive.
Yeah, huge.
He's a big bastard.
Yeah.
Chasing him around the garage.
Mm. I mean, I thought this scene was fucking brilliant.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I would go as far as to say, hey, this is one of them legitimately, taking as an individual scene, one of the scariest scenes from a film I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
go with that.
I'd go with that, yeah.
And it's because of, like you say, Dave, it's the beats and the rhythm of it that really makes
it's taking the time. There's a reason this film is 2 hours, 20 minutes.
There's the ironworks and the black spot. Everywhere it happens, it's all connected by the sewers. And they all meet up at the...
the well house.
It's in the house on Newbold Street.
You mean that creepy-ass house where all the junkies and hobos like to sleep?
I hate that place. It always feels like it's watching me.
That's where I saw it. That's where I saw the clown.
That's where it lives.
I can't imagine anything ever wanting to live there.
Can we stop talking about this? I can barely breathe. This is summer. We're kids. I can barely breathe. I'm having a fucking asthma attack,
and I'm not doing this.
What the hell? Put the map back. Mm-mm. What happened?
What's going on?
I got it. Hold on. Guys. Georgie.
Bill?
So let's go.
Then after that, the kids decide, fuck all this noise, we'll go to the super spooky house, and we'll draw straws to see who has to stay outside, or who gets the easy job of staying outside and who has to go in. Yeah. And unfortunately, our mate from Stranger Things draws one of the short straws and he has to go in, to which his views are that everyone's lucky that they weren't measuring dicks for this task.
Yep.
So in they go. Pennywise splits them up. Creepy carnival music. Full super spooky routine going on now. Yeah, it's just pretty intense, isn't it, Dave, really?
Yeah, it does remind me a lot of The Conjuring, actually, this. People are kind of getting splintered off by things they see in other rooms when they should probably say, hey, look, that light over there is flickering. But they just kind of wander off. And it's nicely disorientating in the house, I'm pretty sure. They play the geography deliberately how they want and then bring it back how they need to.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of work between the top and bottom floor. Because they're passing between the floors, there's holes in the floor, shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's anchored quite nicely, and you can tell how far people are from away from their friends, sort of thing. But at the same time, the house shifts shapes and doors appear where they weren't before, just to kind of fuck people up. Is this the thing with the mattress that bleeds? And the room full of clowns.
Yeah, the room full of clowns is pretty intense. With the poor lad from Stranger Things, and he goes up to that coffin and opens it, and there's like a mannequin of him in it.
Yep.
It's creepy shit, man.
It is, yeah. And then another one of the kid that's always like ill and all that lot of has fear of being ill, he runs along and then the floor collapses on him, so he lands.
Chased by the leper, I think.
Yeah, I think he's chased by a leper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the floor collapses on him, he falls down, breaks his arm.
Yeah. That's a savage arm break, that one.
Yeah, it is. Really floppy, yeah.
Yeah. And is it Mike? Mike from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
He's in the clown room and then it pops out of the coffin, I think.
Yeah.
And then does kind of like this little gymnastic thing on top of it.
It does, yeah.
And I like the way that even though this thing's a fucking weird monster, it's still in the shape of a clown. So it still acts like a clown.
Yeah, yeah,
like
exactly.
Like doing the tumbling and cartwheels and shit. It's quite funny.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And then They come back together a little bit, and one of my favourite little bits of the film is where they run into the corridor, and there's three doors.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says not scary at all. One says scary, and the other one says very scary. It's just like just little bits of sort of quite twisted humour throughout. In this scene as well, I'd just like to take a minute to discuss this. This is your specialism, Dave. Soundtrack is fucking superb in these sequences.
Yeah. just yeah.
pulsating.
Yes, it is David Walfish.
Right.
Who, I think he won an award for Blade Runner.
Right, okay.
And he's one of those young guys that's got Hans Zimmer kind of peering in the room every now and again to see what the fuck he's doing.
Mm.
But he's not wearing a choke chain. So the heavy drums and kind of like the shit only comes out when it's necessary.
Yeah.
And in this, it's very necessary.
Yeah.
So it's quite a senses assault heavy section of scenes going on.
Yeah.
Again, there's enough room to breathe here and there.
Yeah.
Just so you can kind of pause for your breath.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to it again. And when you've got Pennywise screaming at the kid as well.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of like really unpleasant.
Yeah.
Not in a I want to leave kind of way.
No.
But just in a fucking hell.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. There's a little bit more creepy dad shit from Beverly's creepy dad after this. After they get out of there.
Are we gonna... Is this the bit where he gets...
Yeah.
Shivved in the eye? Yeah, this is the thing where she shoves a pole through
his
head.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
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 Wilson, do you want to take that?
So
no, that's at the end of the film, isn't it?
No, it's when they go, it's downstairs in the house.
He's terrorising the kids.
Because the other kids come in to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly shivs it in the eye and basically does bugger all effectively. And Rappond he pulls out and slashes Big Ben in the gut with it as well.
No, he uses his claws to do that. It's really cool that once they've stabbed him in the eye, it's like he just kind of rotates his head and then just uses his other eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you just don't...
Yeah.
You know there's a monster under the skin sort of thing, not in a shit Men in Black kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just cool how he just adjusts to it with his weird eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, after that, basically they escape the house and there's a couple of little bit of a montage of losers drifting apart, basically.
Yeah.
There's a scene with... it's a really fucking funny scene where basically the lad who gets his arms broken's mother bollocks them all.
Yeah.
And tells him never to go near his son again, which is just like... really fucking funny and reminds me of my mother a bit.
Sorry, Sue.
Hi, Sue. Sorry, Sue.
I'm gonna snap her under the door. Do not fucking touch me! Okay, you not touch me! Do not touch me! Get me the fucking
shit! You did this. You know how delicate he is.
We were attacking Mrs. K.
Don't try and blame anyone else.
Let me
get back!
Oh, I've heard of you, Miss Marsh. And I don't want a dirty girl like you touching my son.
Mrs. K, I... No! You are all monsters! All of you. And Eddie is done with you. Do you hear? Done!
So, yeah, that happens, and then there's a scene with Henry and Pennywise and Henry's dad.
Yeah.
When he's watching some telly, and it all goes a bit fucking wrong, doesn't it?
Oh, no, yeah. Henry's going to shoot a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking nutcase.
Yeah.
His dad takes the gun off him. And then threatens him with a gun.
Yeah, like he belittles him in front of his friends.
Yeah. Which is fair enough. You fucking won at that point.
Yeah,
you
shoot a cat. But don't shoot the fucking cat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
get an haircut.
Yeah,
and then it's the scene you're talking about. Where...
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit where he's basically, for whatever reason, attracted to go have a look in his letterbox, and there's Patrick's knife in there.
Does he follow a balloon?
He does follow a balloon, to a letterbox, and there's like some sort of like weird like chimey music happening in the background as well, just like stringing him along.
Yeah, yeah.
And he finds a knife, and it's all like
back.
even at this point, before he even gets to the letterbox, he's already all like hypnotized and shit. He's like, he's walking really stiffly.
It's weird, childlike sort of puppet.
Yeah, it is.
Thing going on. Yeah,
and he like he doesn't blink or anything. Yeah, so he's already under some sort of spell.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walks into the house where his dad's fallen asleep, having watched TV. Mm-hmm. Walks up, presses a knife against him, and mm-hmm. presses like the trigger button for the knife to shoot open, and
yeah.
blood everywhere.
Yeah,
brutal. It's not a nice scene because he's just kind of his dad's just squirming and bleeding out on the sofa with his kid's TV in the background.
Yeah. Oh, and the TV's like got all weird. Like his show, like they're saying, "Kill them all,
yeah,
all."
Yeah.
It's like Sesame Street on crack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and basically, Pennywise gives him the mission to kill them all, like you say. And then we go back to Beverly mm-hmm. and her dad, and this is the really fucking creepy scene with her and her dad, where I think you're right, Dave. I think this is the scene where something was added on the DVD cut. Mm-hmm. From the cinema, because it's really fucking close to the bone.
It's
this.
Quite explicit.
Yeah.
The way things get. Not even as much in the violence of it, but like what he says towards the end, which isn't even implying. It's basically saying, I've sexually assaulted you quite a few times.
Yeah, the use of the language makes it more unsettling than unsettling.
Yeah,
than anything, I think.
Yeah, say because it's weird, isn't it? Because like there's a certain point where like physical violence on screen where there's still like that sort of barrier.
Yes,
it doesn't make it okay, of course, but it's still like you've seen it countless times before.
Yeah,
but you know when he actually comes out and says it, like you think, well, yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah. Again, it's the director saying, no, we need to be tasteful. We need to say what we need to say, but we need to be tasteful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is the bit where Beverly basically has enough and gets into a rumble with her dad, and he ends up literally getting shit-panned. So, yeah.
Just a second.
Okay, hon. Take it in.
Any more toilet puns?
Now I'm all clogged up.
Oh, dear. Nice.
I'm flush with them. How long have you got?
Fucking hell, man. These are good. Willie, one more.
Born cock.
I was going to say his relationship with his daughter's gone down a pan, but yeah.
Three. So yeah, he gets tagged out, and then in no short order, Beverly gets taken by it.
Mm-hmm.
The Losers Club discover this has happened, and this kind of sparks them coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little montage of them Billy rallying the troops, and there's a little bit in this little montage that's one of my favourite bits of the film, where our lad with the asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks off with his mum and says, "I'm fucking going out." And there's a little scene that we didn't mention before where the shitty woman at the pharmacy writes "loser" on his pot and tells him that his asthma medication is not real, it's a placebo.
Yeah.
And he's shouting at his mum and she says, "Calm down, you need to take your medication." And he throws it at her and goes, "These aren't even real, they're gazebos." And it just fucking creased me.
Hello? Okay. I'll meet you there.
And just where do you think you're off to?
Out with my friends.
Sweetie, you can't go. You're getting over your sickness, remember?
My sickness? Okay, what's sickness, Ma? You know what these are? They're gazebos! They're bullshit!
They help you, Eddie. I had to protect you.
Protect me? By lying to me? By keeping me locked inside this hellhole? I'm sorry, but the only people that were actually trying to protect me were my friends. And you made me turn my back on them when I really needed them. So I'm going.
Eddie! Oh, you get back here!
Sorry, but Eddie, I gotta go save my friends!
Eddie, don't do this to me, Eddie!
Both times when I saw it at the cinema, when I saw it on DVD, just got me. Fucking got me. So yeah, eventually, you know, Finn, the Stranger Things kid, is in an arcade. He's the last one to be convinced. Mm-hmm. Eventually they come together and they go back to the house for a big old fucking last act Royal Rumble, don't they, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yes, mate, they do. Do they pick one to stay watch again?
Can't remember.
No, I think they all go in, don't they?
I think they all go in. Yeah, they all go in this time of logic being like last time it was split up, it just got completely fucked over.
Yeah. So they go down to the basement to find the old well of the well house, the spook house.
Which we did see before Pennywise had like stuck in there after the first rumble had happened.
Yeah, and it's also
creepily, with his head just fucking disappearing. That fucked that business.
Yeah, and it's also something that's touched on in the scenes where they're looking through all the research into Derry's history as well.
Yeah. Everything kind of ties to that as a central point.
Exactly, yeah.
With the sewer system.
Yeah.
And also it ties in with Billy.
Yep.
Yeah, his initial kind of thing that he made out of the hamster tubes.
Yeah,
about
exactly.
Where Georgie would be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they all go down the well, basically, apart from our mate, Mike.
Sheep shooter,
yeah. Who basically gets assaulted by Henry Bowers.
Yes, mate.
And they have a bit of a rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where basically he legs him down the well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. There's like, who's going to shoot each other in the head sort of thing. Henry's threatening to get him with a bolt gun thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I think there's a scuffle, a kick, and then he topples over the rim of the well.
Yeah.
And he fucking hits a few things on the way down.
He does. It's, yeah. It's pretty crunchy stuff.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And then I think he flies down like POV shot with a loser gang.
Yeah.
And I think one of them might make a joke.
Maybe they do, yeah.
I think when he hits the bottom, they make a joke, something like that. But at this point, the rope has been thrown down as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So they've got no way of getting down.
No. And this is also intercut with the scenes of the kid's floating, literally floating.
Yeah,
Beverly's down there.
Yeah.
And she sees the light for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, so I'm going to make a bit of a comparison here between this and the original, which you might find quite interesting, Wilson, because it colours kind of a real difference of what happens with Henry Bowers in particular.
Mm.
So in the original, around about this point, basically, Henry Bowers and he takes two of his mates with him down into them. There's three of the bullies following them, and they don't. The well isn't a thing. They basically just follow them down into the sewers. And throughout the previous version of it, that much more is made of these lights.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what happens is one of Henry Bowers' mates is literally folded in half and sent down a pipe to his death.
Yeah, like he's been pulled backwards, and he just kind of folds up.
Oh,
no squirming or anything.
No squirming, just silence.
Like a calzone.
Yeah, like a calzone.
Fucking weird.
And what happens to Henry Bowers at this point in the original is he sees the lights and the lights turn his hair white.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just has a breakdown by whatever he's seen in the lights.
Right.
And that's the last of you see of young Henry in the original.
I think the issue with modern day Hollywood is that's not a good ending for that sort of structured it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Lights are introduced, but
because I didn't even realise there'd be a second part until it flashes up the end, chapter one. So I was quite unsatisfied with what happens here to Henry, but now that I know something else is going to happen, I still think it should have been a bit stronger as its own self-contained film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that should have ended a bit better.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand why they did what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, with the scene with Beverly, we're introduced to deadlights.
Yes.
Which are a thing in the TV movie as well. And a sound design here, Nice little bit of storytelling.
Yeah.
Obviously, he says he harvests these kids to feed on their fear, keeps them alive, sort of thing. And every time we see kind of like the main room, you can kind of hear children screaming.
Yeah.
So the idea is that they're all kind of like, their minds are still going.
Yeah.
And they're still terrified. And he's just sort of slowly feeding off them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he shows Beverly the deadlights, which are inside him.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be what he actually looks like.
Yes,
that's
correct.
His actual form is the deadlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, again, in the original version, you see its true form much more. But yeah, so basically, it's kind of the last rumble now, basically, isn't it, between Pennywise and the kids, and they all essentially don't fucking fear him anymore.
Everybody wants the hardcore title, and he's fucking got it, hasn't he?
Exactly, and they just lever the absolute fucking ever-living shit out of him.
He's the Maven of this situation.
Is, dear me. And the kids are very much the Undertaker of the situation.
Undertaker.
And fucking chops. And the Undertaker fucking popcorn out. Machine's coming out.
Hardcore Holly, Al Stowe, like, even before stiffing him.
Yeah. Basically. So, yeah, they batter fuck out of Pennywise, don't they?
Yep.
But they don't quite kill him. There's a nice little sequence where he's just falling down the well and bits of his head start cracking off. And then he sort of disappears.
As they batter him, he's transforming into something else.
Yeah.
And he's kind of trying to desperately manifest as bits of their fears.
Yeah.
So, like, his arm turns into the weird portrait woman head and stuff like that. And it's all very nicely done, I think. Yeah, it's kind of, it was comical in the cinema because people were laughing when he was sort of flapping around in his clown outfit.
Hmm.
But at the same time, the deal is very much sealed.
Yeah.
With just him peering out of that well and then sliding down without any kind of natural motion.
Exactly. And then we've got the sort of closing little scenes of the Losers Club making their sort of blood bond to come back if anything happens again with it. And this is a direct rip from the end of the first one. Well, the end of part one of the first one.
Unos.
And then they sort of gradually go their separate ways. We're left with Bill and...
It's Beverly,
isn't it? And they have a bit of a romantic moment.
They do,
And go their separate ways.
Yeah.
And that.
Bit of a smooch of a bugger off.
Yeah. And that, as they say, is it.
Or is it?
Nice. How are we feeling?
Good, that.
Top end?
Top end, mate, yeah. Watched it at the cinema and I was blown away by it. Watched it again. We watched it again for this, obviously. And I think it is in my top three horror remakes of all time, I would say.
Shit, okay. What are the other two?
The other two are John Carpenter's The Thing and Alexander Arge is The Hills of Eyes.
Oh shit, fucking alright, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Willie?
Yeah. Really good for that.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I think we're all in agreement. Dave, how are you feeling about it, second viewing?
Second viewing didn't have as much impact as it did in the cinema.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a cinema experience.
Yeah. Because
it requires a lot of your focus.
Yep.
Of course, I was watching it on this lovely 21.9 monitor.
Yep.
So... No black bars for me.
No.
Beautiful big sound system.
Yeah, yeah. Textbook.
It's still a very, very good experience. The level of polish over it is pretty scary.
Yeah.
Like how well tuned it is.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of what The Conjuring is doing right.
Yeah.
In terms of its pacing, its scares. Very specifically, its colour palettes.
Yeah.
It likes its blues and it likes its browns.
It does.
So I think it's got a very modern look to it. A very slick and sexy look to it. But I think there's something very classic cinema about it.
Yeah.
Like it knew what was good about the 80s and 90s horror films. Stick your camera on a fucking tripod for starters.
Yeah.
And it stuck with those. It feels like Spielberg in places.
It does, yeah. And I think there's some really nice performances from the kids as well.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Which helps.
Yeah. How are we feeling about Sarsgaard?
It was good. It was good. I think it was kind of... He succeeded in a way that a lot of remakes of these iconic figures failed, specifically the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, whereby he's legitimately come at it from a different angle.
It's the Heath Ledger Joker sort of vibe going on.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
He's done his own thing.
Yeah, precisely that.
Will he?
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen the original, so I don't have any reference to how Pennywise was in the original, but yeah, quite creepy. It's just like looking background, I was surprised watched it how very little people he killed on screen, actually. To be fair, because is it what two is it at the end? Georgie and Patrick? I don't think he doesn't tag anyone else out, does he?
No.
Yeah. No, that surprised me, but I think because he manifests on the children's sphere, I think he's meant to be more about, you know, just this lurking threat in the background than just this out-and-out killer anyway. So it worked really well, and Skyler was very good as well. Yep.
Especially the lazy eye treatment.
Yeah.
And there's points in the film I can't tell what bits of him are CG and which aren't.
No.
There's sometimes where his eyes are CG and sometimes there's not. And there's bits like outside the well with the balloon reveal that his head looks like it's computer generated, but I can't tell.
Yeah. No, it's just well done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Very nicely done.
Indeed.
Should we chuck some turds about?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Wilson.
Let's throw our turds everywhere. I could only give this a one. It's one of those things that I think I mentioned in Conjuring as well. Like, we've got to a point with filmmaking where for a certain amount of money, I believe this was like $37 million to make, you have to do a horrendous job in this day and age to make anything that doesn't look technically perfect. And you've got to be doing something wrong where the acting and all that lot isn't at least pretty good. So, I've literally got no complaints about it.
No. I think you're right on the technical thing. You can go wrong with taste, though.
Yeah.
And where this film nails it is getting everything just the right amount of not naff.
Yeah. I think it was, well, like, a lot of these films, I think the director's just looking to tell a good story instead of just going, yeah, this is my style, I'm going to impose it on you. Like a fucking Joel Schumacher or something.
Fucking hell. Popcorns, then?
I think, let me just consult my notes again, just to double check, because I think this
you
might
can do
be
balloons if you want.
Be another 9, you know? Wait for it. Oh no, I went for 8 in the end.
Reserved Willy.
I've bottled it in the end. Yeah. I don't really know why I've just given it an 8, but yeah, it's a number, isn't it? So
it is a number that is factually correct.
Yeah. For sideways, it's infinite, so.
Fucking well, getting deep with Willie.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Willie going deep.
Isn't he?
Yeah. That's the name of my new podcast.
Willie goes deep. Soon.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh dear, mate.
No more of his clowning around.
Oh fucking hell. Yeomans.
Yes, mate.
Sling some turds in Willie's face.
Okay, mate. The only reason I'm giving it this rating is because I felt like the Super Spooky House was a little bit of a cop-out.
You're going to go with 9, mate.
And that's not on the turds. No, I couldn't do that. I just feel like the Super Spooky House was a bit of a cop-out. Other than that, it was superb, so I'm going to go with a 2. Two turds.
Nice. Okay.
Popcorns. It was terrifying where it needed to be terrifying. It was fucking hilarious where it needed to be hilarious. It was over 2 hours long and it passed like about an hour and 15 minutes would.
Yep.
I can do nothing but give it 10.
Fuck.
Ooh.
Shit.
I can
That's
give it
That's the best
no
rating you've given for something, to be honest.
Correct. Yeah, on the popcorn. On the entertainment side, yes, it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start giving out 11s now in case something better comes along.
It's my first 10, so we've now each given out 1 10.
Yeah, that's true.
What was my 10?
Jason X, mate. You both went Jason enough. X.
Yeah, we did.
Fair enough. Yeah, can't argue with that.
So, yeah. How about you, Dave?
Turds, I'm going to have to go with a 1.
Yep.
To be honest. Purely because I agree with everything you say, but it also ticked my soundtrack box.
Yep. Fair enough.
Obviously, me and you had some confusion about the vinyl release.
Yes, we did.
I've had it 6 months.
Yeah.
You told me it was just coming out.
Maybe they were doing the original one, all Waxwork Records.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It's a red balloon and they said it in the title.
That might be it.
So maybe it wasn't it. That might be it.
Yeah. But I've had to sit down and listen to it several times with a good book.
Yeah.
And it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, it's got the... You know, I mentioned Spielberg earlier?
Yeah.
It has got some Spielberg moments. I don't think you notice them in the film, but
yeah,
they're in the background just kind of strumming away at the heartstrings.
For sure.
So, everything that you liked about it, plus soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, man.
One turd, mate.
How many popcorns are you chucking over it?
10, mate.
10? 1-10?
That's a perfect score, 1-10.
Well, I mean, you know, by the rules of the podcast, a 10-10 would be the perfect score, wouldn't it? It'd be shit, but really entertaining.
It's a perfect film score, I'd say.
But it's the best film.
Yeah.
It's the best film we've seen so far, I think.
I think I've waited this long to blow it all over.
Yeah.
I feel very stingy now.
That's because you're right.
You're only giving out an 8.
Unless it's the Wicker Man.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
How did he get burnt, Dave?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask me again.
How did he get burnt?
I don't know.
Oh, well, praise be the cage.
Oh, fucking hell, stop him. Stop him.
He works it. Oh, okay.
Wilson's next.
Wilson is in the toilet seat next. Wilson, what's happening?
Well, face of bitch and the Wicker Man, because it's sort of up there.
Oh, is it the 10-10, is it?
Yeah, in terms of its classic status, I reckon. We're going to take a dip into the original Sci-Fi Channel films.
Fantastic.
I know. For Sharknado 2. We're finally doing it.
Sharknado 2, the second one.
The second one, yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, big time now.
Yeah, we're hitting the big time here, aren't we? Hitting the high notes.
Yeah.
Starring Tara Reid from Alone in the Dark. And Kurt Angle from...
The WWE.
For wrestling.
Hall of Fame. And everyone else who's over 40 in Hollywood that has had a little bit of work done and looks a bit odd.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yep. Look forward to it.
And the guy from 90210.
Oh, yeah.
He's
had a bit of work done.
Yeah. They all have.
True.
Even the Sharks, they look like, you know, they've had a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of touch-ups, yeah?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Well, thank you, Chris.
No problem. So, look forward to that one.
No problem, Dave. Anytime.
No problem, anytime. You're welcome.
So it is a thank you and a goodbye from me.
It's a thank you and a goodbye from me.
And it's a bye from me.
That was easy.
Yeah, I know.
Well done.
Yeah,
good.
Bye!
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates at Cinemotory on Twitter, / Cinemotory on Facebook, and of course at Cinemotory on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.